You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, powered by BetterHelp.
Welcome to Unruly. I'm your host, Sheila Marie. I'm an author, a fierce advocate for Black women, and the founder of the Curvy Curly Conscious Movement. In this space, I'm sharing what I've learned on my own journey while sitting down with some amazing women who are all navigating their own paths to healing. Because there's no better time than now to get a little unruly.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back to Unruly, you know, the podcast where we get real, deep, and free. Because above all, Unruly is about the freedom to choose a life that works for you. I'm your host, your girl, Sheila Marie. And today we're talking about something that doesn't necessarily get talked enough about in our community, and that is the art of letting go. We as Black women are often taught to hold it all together. Our pride rests in how much we can hold our relationships, our careers, our responsibilities, our expectations, and a lot of times at the expense of our own peace. But I am wondering with this episode, what happens when we release what no longer serves us? And what if holding on is actually keeping us stuck? You know, are you nodding your head over there? Yes.
Yes,
friend. Yes. And more importantly, even if we know we need to let go, how do we do it? So to break all of this down, I have the incredible Oludara Adeyo today with me. Now, if you don't know Oludara, she is a powerhouse. She's a mental health therapist. She's a author. She's a self-advocate helping Black women reclaim their wellness. We love that. We stand for her. She's written Self-Care for Black Women, Affirmations for Black Women, a journal, and her latest book, congratulations in advance, Meditations for Black Women, which is all about finding peace in the chaos. And I don't need to tell you, there's an abundance of chaos right now, okay? So today we're going to dive right in to self-care, and not just like the cute, Instagrammable, you know, TikTok-y way of self-care. We're getting deep, maybe uncomfortable, and talking about the necessary process of releasing what no longer serves you. So let's get into it. Welcome to Unruly, Oludara.
Thank you so much for having me here. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, I have to say, in our research preparing for you, you have such a fun energy about you. You have such a light. What I love is that we're talking about something that can be very heavy and very deep, but everything you do, like everything you put it out through this very fun, light lens. Like, you have a lot of levity, and I absolutely love that. And I want to ask you a little later about how do you keep that with all things considered. So let's start with you. Oh, actually, no. I have two icebreaker questions okay. for you. So what's the last thing, and this could be a big or a small thing, mm-hmm. that you let go of, and how did it feel?
Ooh, what was the last thing? How real do I want to get? The last thing I let go of was a dusty man, but
period. Don't let any dusty slime stress you.
Yes. But I would say the last thing I really let go of was self-judgment. If I can really think, like, most recently, you know, just letting go of judging myself in the expectations that I give myself of, and like when, and so what really happened was that I was not feeling well, but I wanted to work out, but I was just like, I really don't think I should work out. And I had to let go of like this judgment of like, okay, so why is it such a big deal for you that you don't feel well? Like, you shouldn't work out. It's okay. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say anything about you. You're going to work out again another day. So I had to let go of just like judging myself of what not working out that day said about myself.
Right. And not making it this big statement, making this whole story about it. I love that. Mm-hmm. And last icebreaker is, if you could go back and give your younger self one affirmation to repeat every day, what would it be?
I could go back and give myself one affirmation I could repeat every day, mm-hmm. it would be, you are more than enough.
Me too. Mm-hmm. Me too. Me too. That seems to be a common thread with a lot of women that I speak to, is not feeling enoughness in ourselves. So now let's start with you, because you have a very interesting career. You've worked at media outlets like XXL and Cosmopolitan. And so you have a background in media and editing. Mm-hmm. But now you're shifting more into a mental health arena. Mm-hmm. And I want to know, what inspired that shift? And do you see any overlap between those two industries?
Yeah. You know, so what started that shift was, so my mother passed away in 2013. And before that, I was her caregiver for about 7 years while working in media, while working at Cosmo, while working at Cosmo, my mom passed away. But
I'm sorry.
Yeah. And so thank you. You know, and it's been 11 years now. So it's like I'm on a different side of the grief, where talking about it doesn't sting as much. But, you know, while she was sick, and I realized that while she didn't take care of herself, her not taking care of herself contributed to her illness. So she had an autoimmune disease, but she had rheumatoid arthritis, and that just progressed into her not really being able to move, and it just developed all these other health issues from all the medications she was on. And so it made me reflect, because I was in my early 20s when I was taking care of her. So it was like high school, college, after college. And so it made me really reflect on what my mom's self-care or lack of self-care taught me, and how I was taking care of myself. So I had to really, I would say that was the first time I really had to look at myself and be like, okay, well, what am I doing to take care of myself? What have I learned about work ethic that makes me want to sacrifice my well-being? And so from there, you know, I had left my job when I was working at Cosmo, and I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. And I ended up at XXL. And even there, I was just like, you know what? I don't want to do this. Like, this is stressing me out. You know, it's music. So the music industry can be very toxic, especially hip hop.
You ain't got to tell me twice, sister. Okay.
And so I was just kind of like, I was having a moment with myself. One, I was depressed from all the work and stress. And then I was like, what am I doing? I need to be enjoying my life. And thankfully, I have really great friends. I have really great girlfriends who were like, okay, like, you're clearly depressed. Like, what are we going to do? What are you going to do? And, you know, I had friends who suggested social work. I didn't want to go back to grad school or go to grad school and like, but I was just like, you know, I need to find what is fulfilling to me. And so I had to let go of like the vision I had of my career in journalism. I had to let go of the idea of like, oh, I'd be this high power working magazine editor living in New York. I was really like married to living in the tri-state area and like working in New York. I was just like, so like, oh my God, this is going to be my life, movie-esque, whatever. So I really had to let go of that and accept that maybe that's just not what my life is supposed to be. And once I like let go of that and I leaned into what I enjoyed, which at the time was being a nanny. I was like, let me go be a nanny.
How cute.
Yes, really? I love working with children. And so I thought I would become a teacher. And I was like, oh, let me go do this. This is like It brings me joy, not as much stress. And because while I was working in working with children, my nervous system calmed down. I wasn't as stressed.
Wow, that is, I never hear that. I never hear someone say, I worked with children and my nervous system calmed down. I love this.
Yes, I know. It cleared my mind. I mean, I just find working with children so easy. But I quickly learned I didn't want to be a teacher because of all the bureaucracy.
Yep,
but
me too. Same.
That's the stress.
I love working with kids. I do not like the adults that work with kids a lot of the times. And okay. All of the red tape and all of the... This is side note, guys. Mm-hmm. I once worked at a school and I was working as a teaching artist. So I'm not a full-time teacher. That means I'm a teacher that pushes into a teacher's classroom. And I just love to do artsy things or whatever. And so like we were teachers. There was two of us. We were teaching artists and we would help this teacher. And we helped her make this beautiful, like there was a theme for, it was like cherry blossom theme or something. I can't remember. We were celebrating cherry blossom season. And so our door, like everybody decorated their doors in the hallway. Mm-hmm. Nice. And our door was so gorgeous. And the next day I came, it was taken down. And they had found out, because it was so beautiful, that they found a way to say, actually, y'all not allowed to help the teacher or something, something. And I was like, you know what?
Oh, my gosh.
You know what? I am not doing this right now. So okay. I feel you.
Rules.
There's a lot going on there.
Right. There's a lot. So
can I actually want to ask you one question? What was the major lesson that you learned from watching your mother at the end stage of life? Mm-hmm. What was the lesson that you took from that?
One of the major lessons I would say is don't wait to pursue your happiness. Ooh. Because my mother, so she was a Nigerian immigrant, and we had a great life growing up. My father provided for us very well, but my mom couldn't really figure out what she wanted to do with her life. And she was always in school. I remember all my life, she was always in school for different things like cosmetology. And towards the end of her life, she was working towards her nursing degree. And that was something she said to me while she was bedridden, was like, you know, I finally figured out what I wanted to do with my life. And now my life is almost over. And so that was one lesson that I was like, you know what, like, stop wasting time. Like, don't waste time to pursue what you want to do and see where it could go. So,
yes, I love that lesson. Mm-hmm. It's like this oasis in the desert. It's always this thing. Well, later, well, when I get to this amount of money, then I'll do it. Or when I lose this weight, then I'll do it. And when I get the partner, and then I'll do it. And when I get, and then it just keeps going and life keeps happening. And you look up and you're like, wow, 10 years have passed. Mm-hmm. And so I always say, like, how can you implement little pieces of what you want to do in your life right now?
Yes.
Get it started. Love absolutely, that. Guys. So if you are listening, this is your sign.
Yes.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And so you talk a lot about self-care, but I'm curious about your personal self-care. Like, what does self-care look like for you when you're overwhelmed and you feel like you just need a reset?
Yeah. So self-care for me, it looks like resting. It looks like I go to therapy, even though I'm a therapist. I still have a therapist.
Yes.
Taking care of my mental health, addressing my traumas. I talk to my friends. I have a lot of great friends who also are taking care of themselves.
I noticed that about you. I was like, I was inferring, she seems so invested in community.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I absolutely love that. And do you consider that part of your self-care?
Yes. I consider that community. I'm a big proponent of it. I love getting input from smart women, smart people in my life.
Me too.
Yes.
I love it. I'm surrounded by women that are so much smarter than me. And I'm like, you're so, I love it. I don't want to be the smartest one in the
room. Yes. And just different insight that can help you look at things differently. And also, like, you know, sometimes you can't see you and the people in your life can see you. And
yes.
You know, and that's what happened when I was working in journalism. I had a friend when I was working at XXL. She was like, girl, you're depressed. And I was like, you know what? You're right.
Maybe.
Let me go figure out my life.
Yes.
And because sometimes we're just so hyper-focused, especially as Black women, we're just so hyper-focused that we don't even realize all the things we're going through. So yes, my friends, you know, my community is my family, very big part of that. Maintaining a routine and also like speaking up for myself and not holding in my feelings and expressing how I feel to the people in my lives. Or if, you know, if someone wrongs me, not being afraid to speak up for myself. So.
Okay, so two questions. Mm-hmm. What are some routines that you stick to, mm-hmm. and why? And then how do you speak up for yourself?
Mm-hmm.
That can be hard. Some people fear, I don't want to speak up because I don't want to offend somebody, or it's going to be this whole big thing. Mm-hmm. I'll just keep the peace. So how do you find speaking up for yourself?
Yeah.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, powered by BetterHelp. This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy. Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them, and guess what? That's normal. Regain, powered by BetterHelp, offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both. See why people wish they'd tried couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod. This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy. Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them, and guess what? That's normal. Regain, powered by BetterHelp, offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both. See why people wish they'd tried couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.
So, one, the speaking up for myself was a journey, just because I grew up, you know, like not holding in my feelings, ignoring my needs. And so that was a journey of just like speaking up to friends and speaking up to safe people. I always encourage like speaking up to safe people who love you.
Speaking up to safe people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who will like not make you feel bad for saying no. So I would say I start with saying no, because I learned by myself that like I'm a bit introverted. So like I sometimes need to replenish my energy by myself. So I've learned to be like, no, I'm not going to go, or, you know, I'm going to go for only like 30 minutes or, you know, just learning to say no. And the people in my life who I say no to, who love me, they're like, okay. Like, you know, don't make me feel bad about it, because I might make myself feel bad about saying no and speaking up about how I feel. But they're always like, understand. No, yeah. Validate my feelings and, you know, healthy conflict resolution. So I would say speaking up to safe people. So those are people you trust. Those are people who, you know, will validate your feelings, people who will not make you feel bad.
That's
for expressing
important.
Yourself. Yeah. Right. And so I know it's like sometimes you feel safe around family, but sometimes family may not be the person you want to be like no to, because they mm-hmm. also may want to overstep your boundaries. So, and the routine I maintain, trying to go to bed at the same time every night. Sometimes that's a struggle, but
it is.
That is one thing.
One more.
Yes. Let me just scroll a little bit more.
Just scroll a little bit. One more reel. One more TikTok.
Yes, exactly. And trying to drink enough water. A lot of my routines now are physical, just because in the last couple of years, I experienced burnout from my social work job. So I'm trying to replenish my health. And so my focus is getting enough sleep, drinking enough water, moving my body. So making sure my ring on my Apple Watch with the steps and whatever is meeting that requirement. Simple things is like make sure I'm taking my shower every day, you know, like taking care of myself. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the simplest things are the ones that are most powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about the process of letting go, because letting go is not a one-step deal. And it's almost like a series of decisions or actions in my mind. And it sounds nice. Like, even me, I know there's things I need to let go of, but I don't know necessarily I'm not ready yet or I don't get there. Can you talk from your clinical perspective, like what are like the real psychological barriers that make it hard for us to let go?
Yeah. You know, the real psychological barriers also that exist when trying to let go is like we have something called in my field, the stages of change. And sometimes we can get stuck in just thinking about the change, right? So thinking about the change is actually a step in making the change. And sometimes we can get so stuck in like being afraid to make a step. And so we're just constantly thinking about what we want to do, how we want to let something go. We're caught up in the emotion of not trusting ourselves that if we let go of something or if we change something that we may not be able to handle that emotionally. And so oftentimes we're caught up in just like the thought of it all. And I would say that's usually a barrier. But I will say that is also a step. So it's also like accepting that like, okay, me thinking about wanting to let go is also part of the process. And maybe I shouldn't judge myself, give myself grace, give myself time. And when I'm ready, I will let go.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy. Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them. And guess what? That's normal. Regain, powered by BetterHelp, offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both. See why people wish they'd tried couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod. This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, couples therapy that works. This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy. Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them. And guess what? That's normal. Regain, powered by BetterHelp, offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both. See why people wish they'd tried couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.
What would be the first step that someone should take if they go, okay, I'm having a realization in my mind. I feel like I should let go of this thing. But now what? What do I do with this?
What should be the first step? Acknowledge it, you know. Right. Acknowledge it. Tell someone, you know, maybe tell someone who can hold you accountable. Tell someone that you want to make a change, so that you can, because sometimes verbalizing it allows it to actually like happen, gets you closer to
makes it real.
So if it's not a friend or loved one, it's maybe a therapist if you have one, like telling them what changes you want to make, and just so someone can hold you accountable and check in on you and see how you're doing with what you want to do.
I love that. Again, community. When it comes to Black women, a lot of us were raised to believe that suffering means we're strong, right? The more we suffer, the holier we are, the more merit, you know, it's like we're better. We've adorned it, like made it something to be very proud of, to suffer. And so how do we begin to unlearn that?
Oof. Right? That's a hard one to unlearn.
Isn't it?
It's necessary, though, right? Like, you need to learn that. One, I think what we can do is, like, acknowledging it again. Like, acknowledging that, like, okay, maybe I have a problem with, like, needing to be the strong one. getting in community with other women you may seem are strong. Because sometimes when we feel like we're the strong one and we have to hold the crown and do all the things, we don't realize that we can actually have help. So being getting comfortable with asking for help, getting in community with others who want to help, who are just as strong as you or as smart as you. And also doing things that you enjoy that make you feel soft, make you feel mm-hmm. loved. Mm-hmm. 'Cause often I notice that, especially with myself, if I'm like feeling too like I've got to take on the whole world, I haven't done anything to take care of myself. So mm-hmm. it's doing things that you enjoy so you can really like relax yourself and begin to believe like, okay, I don't need to hold the world on my shoulders. I can do other things.
Mm-hmm. You know, in a, that yes and.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, one thing that I had to reframe what strong means because I'm a very naturally sensitive and emotional being. I love crying, meaning like I cry at art. I cry when something is beautiful, when it moves me, when something is so cute. Like, mm-hmm. it's just, I experience a full range of emotion. And I find that, like, a lot of times I struggled with, like, being called weak because mm-hmm. I have emotions. Mm-hmm. And I actually feel like the true strength is in feeling emotions because yes. that's what we're all running from anyway.
Yes.
That's what you're all suppressing anyway, is yes, the feeling of a... feeling vulnerable,
yes.
feeling like you're yes. the loss of control,
mm-hmm.
feeling the death of something, right?
Mm-hmm.
The death of an illusion of self or what you thought this relationship was going to be or what you had hopes for. And like, mm-hmm. I feel that a lot of times we're taught to just bulldoze through that and that's mm-hmm. what it means to be strong. Mm-hmm. But that always catches up with us.
Mm-hmm.
Even in your story about your mother, like mm-hmm. a lot of our mothers, we have stories about our mothers where they mm-hmm. just, it caught up with them later, all of that suppressing,
yes.
repressing, all of that ignoring their feelings. So I have to remind myself all the time that Sheila, you are strong for being able to feel your feelings
mm-hmm.
and being able to name emotions. That is a true strength and mm-hmm. emotional intelligence. So if there are any sensitive Sallys out there listening okay. like me,
yes.
you are strong. Sensitivity is strong.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you said that. I 100% agree. I think vulnerability is strength. I think reframing what you think strength and resilience is important. And recognizing that you are allowed to have your feelings. And, you know, I like what you said. You're like, when we're trying to be strong, we're suppressing our emotions. And as a therapist, I'm going to tell you, absolutely not. Let's not do that. Because you're suppressing all this. It's just going to, you know, putting stuff under the rug doesn't hide it. It's just going to mount and it's going to come out some other way.
Every single time I do that, I pay for it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It comes back.
Yeah.
With a vengeance. So. I'm like, oh, shit. I thought I was just brushing this up under.
Uh-uh.
And now
not.
I'm like, roar, you know, through the house. Like, wait.
Right.
So, yeah, I think it's very important. I think also, too, it's just something that I feel a lot of Black women need permission to do this.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us need to be told
giving
you can feel
permission.
Your feelings. Mm-hmm. You are not defective. You're not weak. But mm-hmm. a lot of Black men, I hear my community in my head like, yeah, but if I feel my feelings, I can get trampled on. That can make me a target.
No.
That can make me easy to be manipulated. No. So it's a maladaptive behavior maybe to do that. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think emotions are, I call them signals. I call them like they're just giving us information. It's not necessarily sending a message about who you are as a person. And so it's important to really reframe and really look at, okay, I'm feeling angry, frustrated right now. It doesn't make me a bad person. It's okay to be angry. Why am I angry? What is going on? Do I feel...
And anger can be righteous.
Yes. yes.
Sorry.
Sometimes it's okay to be angry, okay? Like, you have a right to be angry because, yeah, someone did do you wrong. So go be angry, you know? So, mm-hmm.
Right. And yeah, a lot of us, you know, we were taught to be good girls. You know, mm-hmm. we were taught to be nice. We were taught to be unassuming. And, you know, mm-hmm. and anger, that's not pretty. That's not nice.
Yes.
And so a lot of us are still those little girls in these big girl bodies trying to work through it, mm-hmm. you know?
Be ladylike.
Yeah.
I heard that a lot growing up.
Ladylike.
Be ladylike.
Did you? Mm-hmm. And what does it mean to be ladylike?
To suppress how I want to express myself. You know, I'm a woman, so I don't do things like burp. I eat a certain way. Uh-huh. I have to present myself in a certain way. So,
I feel like I have freaking digestive issues my entire life mm-hmm. from being scared to use the bathroom around people. And that comes from that whole thing like, oh, no, I'm demure.
Mm-hmm.
Very IBS of me. Yeah,
exactly.
Let's talk about community for a second. Mm-hmm. So what are some large myths about healing and self-care mm-hmm. that you want to debunk right now that we need to just dead them, put them to rest?
Some large myths that I want to debunk about self-care. That you don't have a right to it. Like you absolutely, the myth is, that you don't have time for it. There we go.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a myth. You always have time for it. I say even 5 minutes a day is good. And I think that we get a lot of messages, especially as Black women, that we don't have time to take care of ourselves. And I wholeheartedly do not believe that. You need to take care of yourself so you can take care of the people you love and, you know, be a great contributor to society. So that's definitely one. You always have time for it, even if you're a really busy mom. You know, mm-hmm. I know sometimes it can feel like you can't because...
I know.
But you can.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to the moms.
Mm-hmm.
And so, moms a lot of times, especially mothers, face a lot of guilt, a lot mm-hmm. of mom guilt, a lot of mom shaming when they do prioritize themselves. And so what would you say to the woman who's like, yeah, I want to prioritize myself, or I want to maybe take a little bit off my plate from other mm-hmm. people and replace it with something for me, but I feel like the guilt and shame is stopping me?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to encourage you to be okay with being the villain in someone else's story if it means prioritizing your wellness, right? Because, you know, one, people don't like change, so they're going to some people are going to react being like, you know, oh, no, mommy wants to have 5 minutes to herself. I can't. No, I need screaming, you know, child and like, you know, wanting the attention. But over time, you know, people learn. People will adjust to you prioritizing yourself. So I think it's one, getting to a place of trying to get to a place where you are like, OK, like I am. Getting through the uncomfortable feeling of like, okay, I'm going to make someone feel bad, and that is okay.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy. Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them, and guess what? That's normal. Regain offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both. See why people wish they try couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod. This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, couples therapy that works. This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy. Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them, and guess what? That's normal. Regain offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both. See why people wish they'd try couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.
Right.
That's okay.
Right. How do we work through that? Like, I don't want that, you know, my partner or my friend or whoever it is, like, oh, gosh, I feel like I'm going to let them down.
Yeah. Yeah. Sitting with it, writing it out, expressing the uncomfortable feeling however you need to, without giving in to maybe, you know, without giving in to whatever you need to welcome that person into your space when you're trying to have time for yourself. And it is going to be uncomfortable. I will say it is going to be uncomfortable. It's going to feel weird. It's going to feel like this is wrong. But finding exercises that can calm you down, whether it's deep breathing, whether it's journaling, whether it's distracting yourself, doing something else to get your mind off of the fact that you feel like, okay, I feel like I'm letting people down. And because the feelings eventually will dissipate. They will eventually go. And it's just like you're retraining your brain, your mind to like, okay, like I can do X, Y, Z. People will be upset and all will be okay. So.
And I will be okay. Mm-hmm. I love parts work.
Oh, yes. I've heard that.
I don't know. Is this clinical or is it just?
It is clinical. I haven't been trained on it yet. Okay. I am trained in EMDR, but.
Recommend. Shout at the top of a mountain, EMDR. Guys, this is your second sign. I mentioned this in almost every episode.
Yes.
I think EMDR, tell the people about EMDR.
Yes, eye movement desensitization, reprocessing therapy. You know, it's all about connecting. Well, one is desensitizing you to the traumas that you're trying, or the memories or traumas that you're trying to, you know, get through. And so it's somatic work too. So it's like really helping your brain and your body to calm down when reintroduced to whatever trauma you're trying to work through. So like, I will say like for me, I personally did it before I was trained on it for a pest phobia, because I had an experience where I had tuberculosis from an apartment that was riddled with roaches and bed bugs. And
oh,
it left me.
Were they flying?
Oh,
were they
flying? No, thank goodness.
Okay, because.
But like, it left me. I already didn't like bugs. Like, I already had a reaction to spiders and whatever. But it was really bad. Like, I was sleeping with the light on because I created in my mind. We create, you know, our mind tries to protect ourselves. So my mind was like, oh, if I keep the lights on, there won't be any bugs. But I was in a new space. I was safe. And, you know, bugs are here, like it's a natural part of life. And so I did the therapy, and at first I was like, this is doing nothing. And then one time I was on the phone with a friend and I saw a spider, and I was like, oh, hold on, I just gotta go kill this spider. My friend was like, excuse me, there's no screaming. Y'all, hello, you're not screaming, you're not crying. I was like, oh my gosh, it worked.
So EMDR helped you work through your phobia of pests.
Yes
that's amazing.
Yes,
I recommend EMDR so highly, because sometimes I think we're so focused on the cognitive therapies. Mm-hmm. We're so focused on working things through intellectually, through our brain, mentally. Mm-hmm. And then we drag our lifeless bodies behind. Like, what does my body have to do with any of this? Nothing. It's just I can think it through. And it's like a lot of that trauma. I know you hear it all the time. If you listen to this, you're in the world. You know that trauma is also stored in the body. So it is so important. Mm-hmm. Back to parts work. I just want to explain. Mm-hmm. Maybe I can explain what parts work is. If I explain it wrong, just interrupt me and correct me. But I don't know if I did parts work, and it's like, you're working with different aspects of yourself, like maybe different versions of yourself that you were at different periods of your life. Mm-hmm. And you're working to integrate them instead of them being a nuisance or being outside of you, rejecting them. So for me, for example, I did parts work on the part of myself that was really sensitive. Mm. And it's like that version of you serves a purpose. She was created for a reason, and she's coming up because there's an unmet need. So what need needs to be met now? And then that's all it is. She's just like you said before, that emotions are just signals. Mm-hmm. These parts of yourself are also just signals. So in terms of letting go, I just want to say this before we move on, is that sometimes I work with women and they say, oh, but I can't take time for myself because my kids need me, my husband needs me. Mm-hmm. And while they do need you, what is actually the driving factor for you is the version that you get to be when you get to be the caretaker for all of them. Mm-hmm. That you are so needed that mm-hmm. that is the version of you that needs to feel needed, that yes. needs to feel like none of this can run without me. And there's nothing wrong with that version of yourself, but mm-hmm. we might need to talk to her and have a little powwow yes. to really work on letting integrating her in so that you can make more space for yourself.
Perfect. I think you right? explained it perfectly.
I did.
Exactly.
Gold
exactly.
Star. Mm-hmm. Yes, I am like you. I feel like who teaches a teacher, right? We're always in these situations where we're working with people, but we have to keep working on ourselves yes. so we can keep meeting the needs of our community. So I do a lot of therapy too. Shout out to the mm-hmm. therapy girls.
Yes.
And let's talk about your book. Mm-hmm. You have a new book coming out, mm-hmm. or it's already out. It's already yes. released. Yes. I saw it on Amazon. So mm-hmm. it's a Meditations for Black Women. It's an mm-hmm. inspiring and empowering collection of 75 mindful meditations curated specifically for Black women. Can mm-hmm. we get an amen? Ooh, congratulations, by the way. It's no small feat to put a book out into the world. And you have several. You have four, right?
Yes, okay. I have four. This is my fourth baby. And this was a fun one to put together. It's got each page is like, you know, I'm encouraging you to try. I'm encouraging you to reflect on something. I'm encouraging you to make a shift in your life and encourage you to try something different with your self-care. So there's also quotes from famous Black women, whether they're politicians, artists, mathematicians, scientists, etc. And so the quotes are there, one, because they're inspiring. And also, you know, maybe you may want to inspect, like, who are these women and what have they done with their lives? Because I really do believe we can learn from the women before us, mm-hmm. with us, and younger mm-hmm. than us. And so...
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's a quote and then there's the meditation and something for you to just really uplift your spirit. And then I provide a reflection on what the subject matter is and then an action item of how you can maybe practice this meditation or reflect on it. So,
and do you have maybe a favorite affirmation or mm-hmm. meditation from the book that you can share with us
yes.
that supports someone who's want to releasing something and move forward?
Yes. So my favorite one is I give myself permission to live my life according to my own plans.
That is so unruly of you. Oh my gosh, say it again.
I give myself permission to live my life according to my own plans.
Period. Period. ASMR, period.
Yeah,
that is beautiful. And so maybe before we're going to move into the toolkit section of the interview, but maybe one last question mm-hmm. is that, do you have any like counterintuitive approach to letting go? Is there anything that people wouldn't expect about letting go, but it actually works?
Ooh, any counterintuitive? With letting go. Ooh.
I can share one and then
yes,
maybe it'll spark
one.
Something for you.
Mm-hmm.
What I learned in parts work is he used to tell me all the time, like it's like being at the beach instead of like running from the waves, you run and dive right into the waves. So like the fear that would come up, like, I can't let go of this thing. I can't let go of this thing because I don't like, let's say it's like, I don't want to jump out on my own. I don't want to leave this relationship or I don't know what's on the other side. Okay. And he would ask me to amplify the fear, mm-hmm. amplify that. And then it would just almost, oh, it's just this wave. And then it's just standing at my feet. So instead of running from the fears, being afraid to address them, being afraid to, you know, talk about them, put them right on their projector screen, put them on there. And they're almost like Allison. No, not Allison. Oz.
Yes.
Come on, Glinda. Come on, Elphaba. So it's like, you know, you finally see behind that big mask of Oz. It's just this guy. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like, That maybe is a counterintuitive approach to letting go, is like running right into all the fears, go ahead, address them head on. And they actually, instead of you feel, it feels like it's going to be overwhelming, but it actually is, it minimizes the effect mm-hmm. somehow. I don't know how that works clinically, but it just worked.
Yeah. It's like, it's like when we catastrophize things in our mind and mm-hmm. then when we actually do the thing, we actually face it, we're like, oh, okay, That wasn't.
Wait, catastrophize.
Yeah. So sometimes that's a cognition, a negative cognition to catastrophize. It's when we kind of make something bigger in our mind than it actually is. Example, partner misses your phone call. Now you're like, oh, gosh. Well, what are they doing? Are they, you know, talking to someone? Are they, oh my gosh, are they alive? Like, you know, just making your weaving a story in your head. So catastrophizing is weaving a story without sufficient information. Sometimes like when you're thinking, oh, this project I'm doing is a bigger deal. It's going to take a lot of energy. And then you finally do it and you're like, oh, okay, that wasn't actually that hard. So, when it comes to letting go, what I really think about is, one, I think of like the guilt that comes up, maybe feeling like I could have let go sooner, you know, the thought of like, oh, I should have let go sooner, but, you know, I could have done better. I could have recognized, but I could have recognized that I need to let this go sooner. And having grace for that version of you that maybe wanted to let go and embracing this new you that wants to grace for the one who didn't want to let go and embracing the one who does want to let go. So maybe leaning into the guilt a bit, like you said, with the emotions and like leaning into it and recognize that I'm bigger than this feeling of guilt. And that
I am bigger than this feeling of guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and so it is.
Yes.
Wow, that leads us right into the toolkit. And this is how we end interviews here, mm-hmm. is we want to leave them with something practical to put in their unruly toolkit. So do you have something that you shared a lot, but if you want to leave them or reiterate any particular tool or skill or mindset or affirmation mm-hmm. that they can take with them to support letting go?
I will say the affirmation I said, I give myself permission to live my life according to my own plans, is definitely something that I stand on. I really just love encouraging people to live carefree.
You live very carefree. Yes, I love that.
Yes. To really lean into joy, to really just be their most authentic self, because I think we just live in such a society, especially Black women, that wants to control us, that wants to tell us how to live, that it can be so overwhelming, and mm-hmm. to feel like also we have so many obstacles we have to overcome to get to our goals. It can just be so overwhelming. And it's like, let me give myself permission to just like live according to my own plans. Let me not rely on like what my family thinks of me. Let me not try to please my family, friends, all these people who may have their own ideas of how my life should be. Mm-hmm. Live it for me. Let me live for me.
Mm-hmm. So. And that is letting go of the version of let's say it's your parents, of mm-hmm. the version that they expected you to be.
Yes.
Like, right?
Yes.
So, yes, giving yourself permission to live your own life, which is so important.
Yes.
Because you're here for a reason.
Yes. And that, and I think it just makes me think of like, you know, I'm 36 year old, like single woman. And like every week my dad be like, no, we're praying for you to find a husband. And it's like, okay, that's great. But like, I also have this other life that I'm trying to create,
right.
You know, I think sometimes, especially as women, as Black women, and, you know, we just feel so much pressure for marriage, kids, all these other things that mm-hmm. are supposedly our duties as women on this earth. But just getting to live for me.
Just mm-hmm. getting to live for you. And mm-hmm. that is enough.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oludara, thank you so much. This conversation was everything. Thank you just for sharing your wisdom, your honesty, and really challenging us to rethink what it means to mm-hmm. let go and to put ourselves first. I know that everybody's going to be looking for you. Can you let the people know, where can they find you? Where can they find your book?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I am Oludara Adio everywhere, on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Threads, you know, everywhere. And I also you can go to my website, oludaraadio.com, as well, if you want to get in touch with me. And
Yes. Please pick up her book wherever books are sold. Yes. And find her, follow her, support her. Thank you for listening so much. Keep this conversation going. Please DM this episode to a friend. Send it to a friend. Like, review. Reviews are very important, y'all. Rating the podcast and reviews, it just really helps the Apple Podcast and all the podcast algorithms. Please support us so we can keep bringing you amazing content. Until next time, remember, letting go is not losing. It's winning. Okay. It is being the version of yourself that you choose to be. I will see you next week. And thank you again, Oludara, for joining us at Unruly.
Thank you.
Yeah. Of the Unruly community, if you have something on your mind, a question, or something you want me to answer, just send in a voice note at speakpipe.com/unruly. I can't wait to hear from you. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to follow or subscribe so you never, ever, ever, ever miss an episode of Unruly.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar. With a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry, IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu Mango IQ Mix Hydration Mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition. Great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar. With a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry, IQ Bar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ Mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20.